Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
After reviewing the play, the Chicago runner advancing toward the goal line lost control of the football, and the ball hit the pylon. Therefore, he did not step out of bounds. It is a touchback. It will be Green Bay's ball touchdown.
Right there, the John Fox era in a snapshot. In a winnable game against their biggest rival, the Bears' offense was lifeless. The defense struggled, and the coaches, that's another story. The Bears are now 3-6. So, was this the loss that will make this John Fox's last season in Chicago? Meanwhile, guess who's back in the building? Nico Mirotic returned to a workout with his teammates, but still no word if he'll ever play again in a Bulls uniform. How do the Bulls repair this messy situation? And Saturday was the day that turned the college football playoff picture completely upside down. Number one, blown out. Number two, almost lost. Number three, blown out. So what happens now? Has the door opened for the Badgers to make the Final Four? Sports Talk Live's coming up next. Welcome to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Chuck Arfine in for David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show. We brought in the A-team to talk Bears. We got Adam Johns and Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times, David Haw from the Tribune. Start with the Bears. What do you think? Bears had 2 weeks to prepare for a home game against a struggling and extremely shorthanded Green Bay Packers team, but the hopes and dreams of them beating their biggest rival came crashing and humiliating down in a horrific conclusion. Let's start with John Fox, who has more turnovers than Brett Hundley yesterday. His decision to challenge the Benny Cunningham play at the goal line was a big turning point in the game. So my question for you guys is, will Fox be able to save his job?
Well, you know, it's difficult. Every week we're going to have the same sort of discussion. And last week at this time, I was sitting here talking about he had an opportunity in the second half with a strong second half to save his job. And I really believe that. And I thought that that was predicated on the idea that you go out with a game against the Packers and you win that and you build off that. Well, he lost the right to do that yesterday. And I think it's going to be very difficult for him to make a case to keep his job, because yesterday wasn't only a bad loss. It was a coaching loss, and not just the silly look on his face and the bad decision. But there were, you know, offensive weapons ignored. There were a lot of coaching issues that you're going to look back and say that was the day that marked the beginning of the end.
I'm sure the Bears will play the Lions tight. They'll play the Eagles tight. They should beat the 49ers. They should beat the Browns. I say should, because you never know what's going to happen.
Play the Eagles tight?
Yeah, I was going to say.
They always, here's the thing. For John Fox, they always play games tight. They just lose tight games. Yeah. That's just the way his teams are constructed to lose. So there will be some good moments to feel good about for John Fox, for his locker room to feel good about. But this game won't be erased in the memory of a lot of people who are above him and the pecking order at Hallis Hall.
No, and let's file this away for later. Hugh Jackson for the Browns is 2-0 on Christmas Eve and has not won a game on any other day of the year. No,
how do you know that?
I know.
It's somewhere in the back of my head. I can't
Hugh
remember
Jackson's
birthday.
Christmas Eve record.
2-0, I believe.
Wow.
The way this loss happened, yes, it's horrible, because that challenge play gives every frustrated Bears fan a reason to be upset with Fox. But, you know, they matched their total penalty yardage at halftime, or their season high for penalty yards at halftime. Marcus Wheaton played 2 snaps. Tariq Cohen played 13 snaps. If you're going to be mad at John Fox, be mad at John Fox by all means, but be mad at him for something other than taking away points from his team, which he did.
There were 10 more factors here, too. You know, the defense didn't play.
Where was that? Brett Hundley? Come on, you had 2 weeks to prepare for Brett Hundley, and this is what you do?
He played better than the Bears' young quarterback, and I thought that he showed a lot of poise and growth for Hundley to come in, you know, supposedly should have been a tough place to play, improvising, making good throws, doing everything that you want your quarterback to do against the Bears down the stretch.
Yeah, the Bears' pass rush was inept.
Yeah, I mean, was there a pass rush?
No, they got to only 3 times, but it came off pressures or blitzes.
Yeah.
Leonard Floyd against a backup right tackle, Justin McCray. It took me like 5 times to remember his name last night. Like, Justin McCray held his own against Leonard Floyd, the Bears' best pass rusher. Akeem Hicks, good against the run, not against the pass. Just Where were they? Yeah. This is a backup quarterback.
And there were at least two plays, including the touchdown at the end to Adams, where the Bears' edge rushers were freelancing and going inside, not allowed Hundley to roll outside.
You know, and more than anything, though, football is a field game. I mean, it really is. It's like a lot of games. Hockey's similar to this, too. When you come out after you have a week off, and the whole idea is you haven't played in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Your season is on the line. You've read all week, you've heard all week about this being the biggest game of the John Fox tenure. We have overstated that, and I don't think we did overstate that, but people have heard that. And the Bears come out listless and sloppy. That's a terrible response. That's coaching.
Yep.
That's an inability to reach players to the point where you can get them to do something that you need them to do. You had a feeling in that first half, like, where have they been? Are they the team that played Monday night? No. The Packers were.
No, and Adam, you and I had this conversation in the first quarter that you could just feel that they didn't have it. And
listless.
Listless, half asleep, cloudy, all that.
That's the most damning thing you could say. So my question is, do you think the Bears front office has made a decision?
No, I don't think they've made a decision yet. I mean, I think that there are people in that building that are unhappy with the way things went. I think that we don't know if, I mean, you can assume everybody's unhappy, okay?
Right.
But if the decision is with the general manager, Ryan Pace, I don't think that he'd acknowledge that he's made his decision. Maybe he has it in his mind, but I think he probably will say, you know, next week could go well, you could still salvage something. But I do think there are people probably above Ryan Pace that are probably in their minds already preparing for phase two.
John Fox has to realize the next seven games aren't about wins and losses. It's about proving that he's the best coach to get the best out of Mitch Trubisky. And there's a lot of question marks in terms of whether that's him or Dow Loggins.
This just feels like the end of Tressman's era.
Not really.
It's not the circus that the end of Tressman's era
No. I guess what I'm trying to say is
the hopelessness.
You knew it was coming. Like, he can't get over this.
Well, see,
there were some really bad. Yeah.
I know you feel that today, but I really felt like with Trestman's final year, there was a sense early, like maybe now, mid-season, he was not going to overcome that. I think with Fox last week, I think you did have a sense that, again, if the Bears could have played a certain level in the second half, he could have returned next year. I never had that feeling with Trestman.
I mean, even if Fox is fired, you still have Trubisky, and I still think he should embody hope in many ways. That type of player wasn't on the roster when Ryan Pace and John Fox
took over. Well, and also, regardless of what you feel about John Fox, whether you like the style he coaches or any of that, there's no disputing his resume is 100 times that of Mark Trestman. And because of that, I mean, I don't think you could run
him as a coach to Mark Trestman. I'm just talking
about – You just mean that now I'm feeling you're like, playing out the string.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Like, I feel like there's we know element. How this is going to end. And when we reached this point with Trestman's last year, we're like – We know this
now. There was a Martellus Bennett controversy, but it seemed to embolden the rival this time.
Let's get to that crazy play call or reverse the challenge that he made with Cunningham. Where to begin with this? Should he have known, or is it more on his coaches for not telling him on the sidelines? Well, you know what? Well, we should not be challenging this.
You're not going to know everything when you're head coach right there, but you've got to have people who you trust enough in the booth to lead you down the right path. Mm-hmm. And you also have to have a feel for, you know, is the risk worth the reward? And in this case, as a head coach, that's where I think it wasn't worth risking whatever could have happened. You saw the ball come loose. Things could have gone screwy. You have to have the presence of mind to say, you know what, first and goal with the two isn't so bad.
Yeah.
I'm not going to risk this.
Yeah, I don't think he had a feel for what was going on. Like, lost in this moment is Mitch Trubisky running up to the line of scrimmage, trying to get his team together to call a play because the Packers are reeling. Yeah. He knows they're a beaten-up team. He knows this is a perfect moment for his offense. And what does John Fox do? He slows things down, throws the challenge flag. That momentum they had is gone.
But Benny Cunningham runs off the field and tells the sideline that he scored a touchdown. Then he looks up at the replay during the review and goes, actually, I fumbled the football.
Patrick, you never listen to players.
No, you should never listen to players say,
I'm not hurt. No. You never listen to players say, I made that tag.
In baseball?
Never.
But never. To me, the most damning part of all of that is it's first and goal at the two. You've talked all year about how you're going to run the football, about how you're going to, you know, impose your will with the run. You've got three shots, maybe four, at scoring a touchdown, and you decide that you would rather, take your chances on the review. First and goal at the two, in retrospect, seems like a pretty sweet deal.
I agree with that. Trust your offense in this situation, but can we just stop with glorifying the Bears' run game? They're vastly overrated. They lead the league, not in rushing yards or touchdowns, but in negative runs. Mm. They're brutal. They're overrated.
Still, I'll take my chances with Jordan Howard lunging forward.
It's first and goal at the two. Yeah. I mean, when you look at things like something bad is going to happen when we take a snap. That's sort of the Bears' whole problem with their philosophy with Mitch Trubisky, just in general. They think that offensive football means something bad is going to happen to us. Maybe it's but that's the way Fox approaches it. So if you look at it the other way, it's like, okay, we're first to goal at the two. Who cares what happened if you hit the pylon or not? We're going to score in two plays anyway.
Yeah, he doesn't think that way whatsoever.
But that's the problem with the mindset. So that's what the problem with this whole, you know, review and replay. It revealed a flaw in the way that's the approach, not necessarily the execution, but the whole approach.
Reveal, expose.
We're going to fail.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to fail because we can't score from the two, and I'm so afraid that something bad is going to happen. I need to challenge this positive play.
Here's what John Fox said today. He was asked after the game yesterday and asked again today. You guys, I think, were there at House Hall. Here's what he said about the challenge that went awry.
Pretty much how I think I saw it, and we'll just leave it at that. We have to ultimately kind of go with what the officiating crew goes with. So, like I said, if in hindsight, I would not have challenged it because it took points, how many points, we don't know, but in my opinion, it hurt our cause.
By the way, the running game, the Bears had 55 yards rushing. The Packers had 160.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With two of their best running backs out.
Yeah, with three different running backs. Yeah.
By the way, who is John Fox protecting is what I want to know. Okay, who is the assistant in the booth? Because his explanation today, you guys were up there, I don't know what he was trying to say when he's blaming the officiating. It wasn't necessarily the officiating, which was the fault here. Mm-hmm. Don't give them a chance to make that mistake where you can second guess them. Who's he protecting in the
booth? I did follow up with that when he had first said, you know, there's not much I could say. I said, to be clear, are you just trying not to get fined? And he said, well, there's not much I can say, and then said, yeah. So he gives the impression that he didn't want to criticize the officials. You know, his coaching staff, he said, they saw what I saw.
The official did not pull the red flag out of his pocket.
Right.
Okay. He threw it based on something an assistant told him from the booth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who's that guy?
I don't know.
It's still his call, though. I know you want to point fingers at some quality control coach.
It is and it isn't. I mean, but you're only as good as your staff.
Right.
Right?
Well, and the pylon being where it is, it's literally as far away from the Bears bench as anything that could happen on
the
court.
And by the way, you shouldn't punish the offense either. That should be down at the one or the two, not a touchback. I'm against this rule to begin with.
Well, if you look at some replays, you can argue against the officiating again because it looks like one of his feet is out of bounds. He still has possession of the ball.
This is turning into a Cubs conversation, though, that when a rule hurts the Cubs, it means the rule is wrong, not the Cubs
I
are wrong.
I still would feel the same
but
way.
But it is a dumb rule, Patrick. It is a dumb rule.
Why discourage people from trying to do something
spectacular? Yeah, I know. Let's get to the offense. So I'm sitting there watching the game, and I've been saying, oh, run, run, pass. Chris Spielman in the booth on the air goes, oh, the Bears are like, they're just doing run, run, pass. For him to say that? On the air, that said a lot to me. I mean, this was way too predictable of an offense. There were some moments where there was a good first down pass that he threw for a completion, but I know they don't have a lot of weapons. I like Inman, obviously, but not an inspiring
offense.
So I spent
a lot of time this afternoon looking at the first down production and plays of the Bears. So in Mitch Trubisky's five starts, Jordan Howard has run the ball 64 times on first down. Trubisky has thrown less than 30 passes, or 34 passes, so nearly less than half of how many times Howard is running. Glennon threw more on first down in his four starts. I get why you want to establish run. You have this identity, but the offense requires diversity.
And I wire some imagination.
Yes.
I mean, Adam's guy, Dow Loggins, is not getting it done. And I just think that, you know, you have to look at that. Those numbers are damning because you are predictable. You know Jordan Howard's getting the ball. If not, it's going to be something very bland.
And some of the Bears' best plays have actually come on first down. The 31-yarder to Adam Shaheen, the touchdown pass to Josh Bellamy, the 70-yarder to Tariq Cohen, the 20-yard touchdown pass to Zach Miller. I mean, the 46-yarder to Trey McBride was a first-down play against the Saints. They can make plays. Pitchers can make plays in first down.
Do you know what I want to know, though? I want to know how many of those plays that Mike Glennon had were passes that he checked into. Because, you know, you can rest assured the Bears trusted him to make audibles when he saw nine guys at the line.
Well, do we know how much autonomy Mitch Trubisky has at the line and how that
compares? That was asked of John Fox today, and John said that he's not Peyton Manning at this point, obviously, when it comes to audibles.
Neither is Mike Glennon.
But he does have the freedom to do so.
No, he used an interesting saying, check with me.
Yeah.
Not, you know, check you know, run the run, pass to pass. He said, check with me.
That's a typical audible lingo with like, okay, check with me is like, okay, if I see something, I can check it off into something else.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah, but who's
the me is Mitch. No, is everybody looking back at Mitch? Check
sure, it's not. Yeah. Tell Dal August. Tell
this isn't college where everybody can turn and stare at the North Carolina offense.
Now there was an instance. There was an instance.
Would that be much worse?
No.
I mean, really, would that be much worse?
No, we need the flashcards with random people and food and
that
stuff.
That would be great.
It. That would be better.
Yeah.
If the Bears make a change, I mean, I'm jumping ahead several weeks, but who's in line for the job?
Well, I think that there'd still be a lot of people who would find this a really attractive position. You've got a young quarterback who, you know, in 7 weeks, maybe he continues to ascend a little bit. It's Chicago. It's a charter franchise. It does have some stain on it right now. It's not a job that has the luster that it once did. Frank Reich from the Eagles is going to be the hot offensive coordinator. Josh McDaniels from the Patriots is a guy that is going to be at the top of many lists. Dave Tobe's name would come up. There's going to be a lot of hot assistant coaches that are because of the Sean McVay thing.
I think Mr. Trubisky will be alluring to your McDaniels and your Wrights of the world. Yeah. Everybody's going to mention Dave Tope because he was such an outstanding offensive defense or special teams coordinator here. But who is he bringing in, you know, to call his plays? He's obviously with the Chiefs and has nothing to do with that.
If he brings Andy Reid's playbook, that'd be enough.
I was going to say he needs to attach himself to a coordinator and bring the guy in on the interview with him and say, here, you talk offense, because that's the big question is you need somebody who can get Trubisky to develop and develop quickly.
And Jim Harbaugh is not the answer?
Well, he's the answer to the question of who's going to be the most unattainable coach out there, because Jim Harbaugh I like Jim Harbaugh. I think he's a tremendous coach. I have no reason to believe he wants to leave Michigan. I have no reason to believe the Bears can afford him. I have no reason to believe the Bears are dynamic enough to pry him away from a job that he's always wanted.
I think he's a bit overrated. He had a loaded 49ers roster not too long ago with a loaded defense with Vic Fangio calling plays. So maybe that. I know people make the connection with Fangio, Harbaugh, all that. The Bears' defense isn't quite there yet. The Colin Kaepernick, he had Alex Smith, he got the best out of them, but he's not getting anything out of the Michigan quarterbacks right now.
If he allowed you to keep Vic Fangio as your defensive coordinator, though, I understand why Bears fans dream of that sort of scenario. That doesn't mean it's going to
happen. Can you dream of a scenario where the Bears are going to spend $15 million on the coaching position next year?
Nope.
Five to John Fox, 10 to Jim Harbaugh. These are the McCaskies. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great fantasy to project out there, but it's not based in anything in reality.
Wanted to find out what happened with Kyle Long. He was banged up, active, mm-hmm. was on for one play.
On special teams.
Yep. So what was that all about?
Well, here's what Josh Sitton came off. Josh Sitton was hurt, and they had to kick a field goal.
Okay.
So that's why he was in on the field
play.
Goal at the end of the first half. Had Kyle not suited up, the Bears would have had to promote an offensive lineman from the practice squad, because they had seven guys on the 53-man roster, including Kyle and what Tom Compton was out with an ankle injury. So I think he was there in case of emergency break glass situation. Okay. And even you look at what they did today, there was a practice squad move. One of the guys they added was an offensive lineman. You get the impression that they're bulking up at the position in case they got to scoot somebody up.
I think they're bulking up just in case you need to realize the situation with Kyle Long and
that's what I'm
completely
saying.
Deactivate him and think of his
long-term
future.
What's going on with him? This can't be just his pinky, okay? I mean, it's not just his finger.
Well, and he had
this is mystery wrapped in a riddle based inside an enigma.
Well, we know he's got the torn labrum in his shoulder, and we know that ankle is going to be a concern, not only this season, but next in the offseason.
If he can't play, don't dress him. I mean, I know you're right. They have to promote somebody. But if he's in uniform, I mean, you're really – and he can't be used.
Well, and when we ask Fox after the game, Fox says, well, he's healthy. He's not healthy enough to play a full game. That means
he's
not
game.
Healthy, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean,
he wasn't healthy to play one play.
Right.
Well, two plays.
Really hurt them yesterday.
It did.
And because they couldn't run the ball badly enough to where Adam now considers the Bears game running game overrated.
It is overrated.
All right, well, Nico is back. Nikola Mirotic was back at Bulls practice today, but he still hasn't spoken with the man who punched him. Could this be a step towards his return, or is there no way Mirotic plays another game with the Bulls? We'll discuss next.
Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle. Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move?
I think Pac wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
As the Bulls practice today at the Advocate Center, Nico Mirotic was back. He's not practicing yet, but in the same building as Bobby Portis, the closest the two have been to each other since the infamous fight during training camp. As of earlier today, the two had yet to speak. Portis did speak with the media about this messy situation.
I'm just here to play basketball, man. Just push my teammates to get better each and every day. My last few games, we had some slippage with our energy, and I'm trying to bring energy to practice and make us a better team.
Have you had any contact with him?
No, I haven't. Like I said, I'm just worried about playing basketball right now, just trying to get our team better. We had some slippage our last few games.
Is this a step at least in the right direction that he could be out here where you guys are practicing?
Yeah, it is. It's always good to have, you know, me and Nico back in at least the same building. Try to get things back to normal.
If he approaches you, since you've done what you can do to repair this relationship, how will you react?
I react normal. I'm like a normal guy. I'm a guy that's a high character guy, you know, and a low maintenance guy. I welcome him in with open arms.
This is so awkward. I mean, they're in this.
It's high school. It's high school.
It's high school, and they're not talking to each other. Fine. The smallest locker room in sports is NBA. There's 12 players, and these guys aren't even talking to each other. How does this even continue?
I don't know if the Bulls can allow it to continue much further without getting them in a room together. I mean, it's forced mediation. I think you really have to look at this from the only reason Nico's there today is why? Because he's fulfilling a contract. I think John Paxson talked about that, and John Paxson has been, you know, very – I think handled it very well, trying to articulate a very awkward situation. Mm-hmm. But if you can go as far to get him in the building, then I think that you've got to bring them together and have them try to address this, or else don't put your player out there to try to. That was uncomfortable.
But the fact that they haven't done it yet, like it's been, what, 6 weeks?
I think a lot of that's on Mirotić.
October 17th.
A lot of this is on Mirotić. It's kind of embarrassing for the franchise and for him. Fights happen in the NFL. Fights happen amongst brothers. I fought my brother on Christmas Eve.
Did you break his face, Adam?
I broke his presents, though. And we were that young. That's a big deal.
That's big. It's bigger than the face.
Like, but you talk it out. You shake his hand.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Well, come on.
This is not a brother battle. Here's the thing. The can't move him until January.
Right.
So they could trade him tomorrow situation. They need to get to mid-January before they make the move.
That's 2 months.
I know that Bobby Portis his teammates seem to like him, and that it feels like he was maybe not always in the wrong in this situation. But I think you lose the right to say I'm a high character guy when you're addressing the fact that you.
It's not like you caved in
your teammates' face.
Like Tanya Harlan style or something like that.
But Patrick's right. I mean, you can choose your words a little more carefully than to project yourself as the NBA man of the year.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just broke a teammate's face.
Right.
To the point where they're going to have to do something. One of them is going to have to go, and it's likely Nico Mirotić.
Right.
Bobby Portis is going to stay. He's a first-round draft pick. He's got two double-doubles, I think, in his return. He's the one who's going to stay. If you're going to bring Nico in the building, though, and I know the Bulls are in a tricky spot. It's very difficult to criticize this because it's so awkward. Because it's not as easy as punching your brother, Adam. Okay, it's not that easy.
In all sports,
I'm sure that ruined Christmas, but it's not that simple.
We saw Kyle Long grab Hieronymus Grissou by
football.
His collar.
It's football.
It's still basketball. Didn't Michael Jordan get in fights in practice all the time? Didn't he punch Steve Kerr?
Not like this.
Isn't that one of the famous
Will
stories?
Purdue, too.
We're not listing anything in which
Adam,
in which the guy.
Hang up and listen for your answer, okay? It's like you're a top radio caller. Listen.
He hurt the future value of his contract.
Yeah, but
that is not something Kyle Long did when he shook up his college buddy during a Bears practice.
Wait, who?
This is not Michael Jordan either.
Gosh.
And it's not football. Talking to Olin Krutz and Fred Miller last week.
It's still physical sport, is it not?
They got in a room together. They believed Olin and Fred Miller.
They manned up and talked it out.
They talked it out. They went forward. Football's a different mentality. You cover the sport. You know this. You covered hockey. That's different, too. If two hockey teammates went at it like this, I think it'd be a little bit different.
Why can't basketball be the same? There's fights all
the
time in
basketball. You should go to a month's worth of Bulls game as a sentence for making that statement, because you would have a totally different feeling about the NBA.
Punishment.
Totally, yes. Have you been to a Bulls game?
Not this year.
But it's a small, small locker room. These guys have to – so what's going to happen? Is Nico going to eventually play?
Yeah, against the Bulls. With the Bulls?
With the Bulls.
No.
Okay, well, so what do they do for the next 2 months?
I'm surprised he was there today. They've got to figure out a way to either get him in the room or move on.
The fact that this,
let's keep Mirotić over Portis?
No.
No. No. And the, so let's look at what the, do you remember the Phoenix Suns last month, Eric Bledsoe, you know, went on Twitter and said, "Get me out of here," or something like that. They sent him home. And they sent him home, and 2 weeks later, they traded him for what? 10 cents on the dollar?
Yes.
Probably. To the Bucks, what? They got Greg Monroe and what? A first-round pick that'll probably be 23, 24?
Right.
That's not nearly. You're not getting that for
Mirotić. That's what I'm saying, is that the Bulls now are going to have to wear it if they trade him. And they seem, I mean, that's still the better idea than trading Bobby Portis. They're going to have to get, what, a high two for
they
him?
Maybe they brought him in to show teams that he's actually getting back in the gym.
His face looks like a face.
He looks normal, still has the beard.
I think people
would be worried if he could shoot if he didn't have the beard. I mean, it's a different, you know, if he did.
All right, let's hear from Paxson. John Paxson spoke with the media today about this craziness, and here's Pax.
We're still kind of in the process of trying to work through everything. As I said last week, you know, he's still under contract. He and Bobby are. We're trying to find a way to integrate Nico back in, but that's going to take some time. He's not ready to do any basketball activities yet, other than he's done some light shooting, that type of thing. But he's working on his conditioning. So this is still a process that we're trying to work through. But as you can tell, he's in the building and around the team now.
Has he had contact with Bobby?
I don't think so, no.
Do you know that if there's any plan for that?
Well, that's the thing we've been really trying to get to, you know, but you can understand the difficulty of that. So, but, you know, we've had discussions with him. We've had discussions with representatives. But it's still something that's we're trying to work through. There's not, you know, we don't have an answer to that yet.
Here's the answer.
Go ahead.
Here's what has to happen. And Nico Mirotić is as much empathy as you have for what he's been through. And I do. He had his face broken. And it's not just
a teammate.
Fight. Okay.
He like to be out there playing.
He's under contract to make $12.5 million. He can see today from being there how uncomfortable this is for everybody. You've got to step in a room, and you've got to face it, and you've got to address the situation. You say, "Bobby, I want to talk to you. I may never like you. We may be, you know, we may never be friends again. This is going to change our relationship forever. But we have to coexist until something happens." And he's got to take it to the next step. I don't know if he's capable of doing that, though.
Why would he? He's on a team that is hot garbage. He wants to be traded. Because, you know, his teammate just broke his face. What is his motivation?
I don't know. Patrick,
what is his motivation for going in and making
nice?
If
you get in a fight with somebody and you're around them every day, do you want that awkwardness? Do you want to have that kind of
If it gets me traded on January 20th?
I think it's like human nature. I mean, professional sports is so surreal. We can't relate to anything that happens. It's like, you know, but this is like a human relationship.
Yeah.
You're a team. You're around people. Do you really want to have that impact on other people to make everybody in the room uncomfortable, everybody in the city uncomfortable, your entire fan base uncomfortable? No.
Maybe get in a room. Is this a
super stealth way to tank? Is you bring in the guy who makes everybody uncomfortable, then you get the first pick?
That sounds like, come on.
He's the cooler.
I'd like to think the Bulls front office have a plan here. They're just like winging it?
No, listen. I mean,
there's no way.
I don't think they're winging it. I think you heard in John Paxson's voice, and I've talked to him about this. It's a process. They don't know which way. It's human relationships. How can you predict what's going to happen?
I think
there's a dynamic in play here, Chuck, that I think is unpredictable.
I'm guessing they have a plan about trading, say, Mirotić.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but I think they want to probably trade him.
Right. And
they made their choice when we found out. The public narrative was that Bobby Portis retaliated or that Nico was an aggressor. That told you everything you needed to know about this altercation.
And no Bulls player came out and said, "How dare he," either.
Right. Yeah, I think this was building.
Exactly.
This was building.
It's a fight. I know
it had been building for years. Yeah.
It wasn't a fight. It was an assault.
It was an assault, Adam.
You can bet that Nico's agent and probably lawyer are probably very happy if he doesn't say anything to Bobby Portis.
Yeah.
You imagine that can't hurt
his position.
Bobby Portis
playing really well. He's averaging 19 points and 10 rebounds.
Does it matter, Chuck?
Games.
Really?
Does it?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I think it might.
If Bobby Portis had 2 points and 4 rebounds in those 2 games back, would you feel differently about this situation?
Different about the situation? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't feel different about the situation. No.
I think in terms of talking
he's
about
team puncher, not punchy.
But when you're talking about the Bulls' future,
well, no, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, he's the younger, he's the better, cheaper player at this point. If he's going to average 19 and 10, that changes the way I think about
this
who
is the
I
best he's
keep.
Played sure. since he's been
if
here.
If he's going to average 19 and 10, he's an all-star, Patrick. Right. I mean, do you think Bobby Portis is going to be an all-star?
Tom MMA, Cooper, can I, tell you that, can I say that line over the air?
Say it.
Yeah, he said he should punch more guys then.
He just might.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.